The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:6 that the Lord is an avenger. Okay, that's actually the wrong sermon. That's for the youth group. We're not going to do that today. All right. So youth, actually, I'm going to ask you for a favor. I don't like to be alone. Will you come up here and sit with me in anywhere?
Sure.
I know, I'm calling you back. Come on up. You guys can sit anywhere, wherever you're comfortable. Thank you. Anybody can come up. John 14:26 tells us this. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Your parents are your advocates. But what is an advocate? We need a definition here. So an advocate is a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or policy. Okay? You are their cause. You can't tell me your parents haven't loudly or maybe publicly supported you at one point in your life. I'm a sports mom. I love sports. I played sports all growing up. My kids play sports. It's sports. So 5 years ago, Nolan's playing his first flag football game. And he's pumped up, and I'm super excited. And we're like, we are ready to do this. So he's out there on the field, and he's like left and right and like juking kids, and he's making tackles or pulling flags or whatever. And I'm like running up and down the field with him, and I'm like, yes, go Nolan, yes. And Gavin comes over, and he tugs on my shirt, and he says, Mom, they're going to ask you to leave. And I was like, what? And he was like, you are so loud, and you're all over the place. And I said, well, first, let them try. And second, I cheer just as loud for you, but you're underwater, and you don't hear me. Which to he replies, thank goodness. Oh, before I get into this, I want to pray with you guys. Lord Jesus, we need you here. I need you on this one. Amen. Your parents are your advocates. Seniors, you are about to take a big step out on your own. And while your parents advocating might look a little bit different for all of you as the stages change, advocating starts to look a little bit different. But there's a helper we have been given as children of God. Romans, which we read earlier, the girls read so beautifully for us, is 8:26. So I want you to get your Bibles out. Actually, we're going to use our Bibles. So if you don't have your Bibles, get your phone out. So we have the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? Old, new. New comes later. So you're going to flip to the New Testament. You start with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Then we go to Acts and Romans. So we're in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. You guys got him? Very good. Okay. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes through us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. We're going to stop there. We need to put this into context for a minute, because the first seven chapters of Romans, Paul has been laying out the glory of Jesus. And then we get to 8. And we know that in these first seven chapters that we are children of God. We're children of Abba, Father, Dad. And we are his children because the Holy Spirit is in us. How do we know the Holy Spirit's in us? We know this if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus. And there's a lot of benefits to putting your faith and trust in Jesus, right? So the first one we have that we think a lot of is that he forgives our sins. Like, this is a big deal. Jesus can forgive your sins, right? But that's not the only thing. We believe in Jesus because he is a gift from God that's our salvation. This is another big deal. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about that we have access 24/7 all the time when we believe in Jesus for help in all situations. And that's the Holy Spirit. He's with you all the time. When you have your faith in Jesus, when you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit is with you when you are making decisions or when you're struggling. He's with you. The Spirit of God never leaves you alone. People will often disappoint you. I feel like weekly, I disappoint someone or someone disappoints me, right? But the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, the Holy Trinity, will never, ever disappoint you. You will go through times where you have no idea what to do. Guaranteed, you've probably already been through those times, right? Life has been hard so far a little bit. Yes? Y'all got to talk back to me. Yes? Thank you. All right. But the Holy Spirit is here and he's wooing us. He's pursuing us. He's pulling us in all the time. Wooing. You like that word. I know I saw that. Wooing. And there's times where you don't know which road to take and you don't know which road to go down. And in those moments, the Holy Spirit is actually groaning for you. He is having a conversation with God that we do not have the language for. And he's doing this on your behalf when you have no idea what words to say. So does that mean we stop praying? No, we don't stop praying. This is when we pray even harder sometimes. Or we pray in the good, we pray in the joy when things are fantastic, we pray in the awfulness when things are terrible, and we fall on our knees humbly at the face of God and just sit. And the Holy Spirit then prays for us in those moments when we have no idea what to say. He works in all situations. Not just some, but all. He works in our awful weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 11 tells us this. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that in Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Not only is his power made perfect when we are at our most vulnerable, but we're to be worshiping in those awful times. That seems so counterintuitive, to be worshiping when things are awful. The problem is here is that weakness is tough. We don't enjoy being weak. I particularly do not enjoy being weak. I have a really hard time with that. Because we want to know what happens at the end, right? We don't like the weakness in the middle. We want to know that everything is good over here. We want to know the end. It's no surprise that the end game, the latest Avengers, how I started this, grossed more than $357 million in its first weekend. We want to know what happens at the end. This is the last Avengers. We want to know the end. Everybody went and saw what happens in the end. But we're not at the end. We're at the middle. Some of us are at the beginning of the middle. Some of us are like in the middle of the middle. And some of us are at the ending part of the middle. But we're all in the middle part of this, right? And God is doing things in our lives right now in this middle part that we don't even understand yet. He's working. He's moving things. He's shifting. He's refining. He's whispering for things we don't even know yet. We don't know what God's plans are, but we do know that the Holy Spirit is working. Amen? Amen. Amen. We know that he's coming to help us for what is to come. So the end part of this verse that we were talking about is a very famous part of the verse, is Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose for them. We got to pull out a couple words here because this is where it gets a little, I need you to hear this. And we know, K-N-O-W. It's not that we hope, it's that we know. And that we know all things God's working together. All, not some. But all things. Can you guys say that with me? All things. All things. And it doesn't say that it is good, because sometimes things aren't good, but that it's working together for good. There's a big difference there. He's doing all of this. This is not about us. This is about him. Sarah Misla and I went on a family ministry conference 2 weeks ago. And the first night is called a response night. So they set up 12 response stations in this big sanctuary. And if you've never done that, they, how this one ran is they give you a booklet and they tell you what each station is. And there's a verse and it tells you kind of what to do when you get to that station. And so you walk in and it's very quiet and very, the Spirit is working there. So we get to the second station, and it's called God Redeems. The instructions were to take a rock, which represents the weight of sin, and ask the Spirit to reveal what we might be tempted to hide from God. As I sat there, it came over me that I don't trust him. And for a long time, that was a really essential truth for me. I knew that God created all, that he would make all things good. I didn't hesitate. When people would ask me that, I would go, yeah, there's a plan here. He's working for this, okay? I know this. It was, I didn't hesitate there ever. And I'm sitting there, and I've got this stupid rock, and I'm like, what, I don't trust him? Okay. So I move on to the rest of the stations, and I left my rock there, but I didn't leave it there. I carried that with me to the next station. So every station I went through, now I'm reading through the filter of, I don't trust him. What? So I get to the 10th station, and we have to go back to that cross. And you're supposed to go back and you're supposed to reflect on the price that he paid for your sins. So Jason had actually joined us that night. So he's up there already. And I came up and sat next to him. And I just start kind of laying out what I had gone through that night. I don't know what, and I don't know what this means. And I just laid all of it out there. And so Jason starts to try to like walk me through it, right? And so I'm not ready for that. So I get up and leave. Bless him, he knows me oh so well. And he lets me get up and leave. So I walk away, and I'm like, okay, we go through the rest of the stations, and it's all fine and dandy. So we go through the rest of that night. We go through the next day at the conference. And one of the teachers at the conference, I was in a breakout group, and he's talking about how he's just getting into youth ministry, or he's been in youth ministry a long time, but when he first got into youth ministry, he taught stories totally different. So he said, for example, when I was teaching Noah, it was about don't be bad so God won't flood the earth. Don't get drunk and naked, and make good choices. He's like, and as I got more into youth ministry, I realized that it wasn't really about what Noah was or wasn't doing, but it's really about God's story here. What is God doing right now in this? And I was like, oh, that's good stuff. I'm gonna write that down. I'll probably use that later. So I wrote it down, and it's great. And so I'm driving to the conference on the last day. This is now the third day. And I still have this thing in the back of my head that I don't trust him, and it's really kind of bothering me. And I get there. No, I'm driving, and the song comes on. It's from the group called I Am They. Look them up. And it's called Scars. Good. Yeah, I hear you. Mm-hmm. And so I'm listening to it. And I'm like, oh, man. All right, so let me tell you just a little bit of the chorus. It says, I'm thankful for the scars, because without them, I wouldn't know your heart. And with my life, I'll tell of who you are. And I'm like, okay, and I love this song, and it hits me. And I'm telling you, the Spirit comes in through me and then out back through me. And I'm like, what is happening right now? And I'm in my car, and I'm saying, it's not about me, it's about him. And then I get louder, and I go, it's not about me, it's about him. And now I'm even louder, and I go, it's not about me, it's about him. And at the fourth time, I'm now yelling in my car, I don't do this, and I'm like, it's not about me, it's about him. In my deepest, darkest times, it's about him. Everything points to him in this moment. What? And now I'm talk texting Jason because I can't text when I'm driving, and I don't want to lose this because I don't know what's happening right now. And so I'm like, la, 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 la. And I'm sure he read it and was like, well, that's interesting. There's no good morning. There's no nothing. It's just like, it's not about me. It's about him. And what? And so we're a little confused. So this hits me. Youth, you are going to go through this. And it'll all look different for you. But your part in this is huge, but he's working through you. People will tell you all the time that you guys will change the world. I tell you all the time that you guys will change the world, and you will. But we need to do it through him. Allow the Spirit to work in your lives. Be open to the work that's going to be done through you guys. I want you guys to be lights. I want you to tell the world who Jesus is just by being who you are. I want people to look at you and go, what is different about them? They have this light in them, because that light is Jesus. And you have the ability to let the whole world know who he is just by being you. Jason and I thank you so much for allowing us to just hang out with you guys. So, thank you.